Even if your dealings with state agencies are few and far between, you're probably aware of your state transportation department. Caltrans and ODOT have the power to change your life, or at least change the roads on which you travel. Transportation is important to us. ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, is losing its director this year. A few weeks ago, Matthew Garrett announced his departure by mid-year. He's held the top job at ODOT for more than a dozen years, so this is a big move. Let us talk about the agency and the direction of things in general in Oregon transportation right now. Tammy Bainey is the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission, which is the board overseeing ODOT. Tammy, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Well, happy Friday. Thank you for having me.
Well, good to have you. So Matt Garrett said he's looking for other opportunities. He's certainly been with ODOT a long time, 22 years total. Was there any pressure or suggestion from governor or commission that it was time for him to move on?
Not at all. But if you were to look at the accomplishments in the recent years with the department, I think if it were me, this would be the time that I would probably say, yeah, maybe I want to try something else.
What are the things that, that make you say that this is a good time to consider that?
Well, first of all, if we go back to 2017 and House Bill 2017, the trust and confidence within the department and the ability to deliver projects, I think, was a backbone for the ability to pass House Bill 2017, which afforded the state of Oregon a significant investment in transportation funding. And that really was something that had been tried many times. And as much as I don't like to see things such as an increase in the gas tax, unfortunately, in order for us to build the system that's necessary to meet the needs both from a community perspective but also from an economic vitality perspective for all the areas, that package was one that included investments for cities, counties, and the state to really bring our system up to where it needs to be. And that didn't happen just by chance. It really was the department's ability to fulfill the obligations that are necessary. We also have the agency's first five-year strategic business plan, which Director Garrett also led that effort. We have the strategic investment report and strategy, which helps us to outline what the needs are going into the future. There really are a lot of accomplishments that I think set the department itself on a great foundation for transition.
And in case anybody listening is thinking, wait, I remember something about a transportation package. Yes, this was a big vote for HB 2017, $5.3 billion in total commitments and a whole bunch of different features to the Keep Oregon Moving package. So Tammy, what has it been like as a commission to A, contribute to the process of coming up with the package, and B, overseeing its implementation?
Well, there are five of us, and you have my esteemed colleague, Julie Brown, from your area. And it is a heavy lift, quite frankly. Five volunteers who are to be citizen representatives of the communities of Oregon. And our job is to make sure that there is, in fact, transparency and accountability to each one of the decisions that are made at the department. As you can imagine, with an almost $4 billion budget and with over, 4,500 employees, our job in governing is important to the overall success of the department. So for us, it's making sure that we are governing and not managing, and that we have clear lines of responsibilities. But it is a unique position in Oregon for us to be structured the way that we are. And I would say that it is an honor is the word that comes to mind. As cliche as it may seem, having been on the commission now for almost 8 years, watching the transition I think the maturing of the organization. When I first came on, there were a lot of maybe angst around the commitment and the relationship with some of the local government partners. And as a county commissioner myself during that time, really making sure that there is light of day on the decisions that are being made and the reasons why, and helping communities to have success, not just looking at how the state system can benefit itself, but how the state system benefits the state as a whole. So there, for us, it's a unique position. We take a lot to get up to speed in terms of all the complexities of the department, but that oversight function is not taken lightly by the five members.
And we're talking about the five members of the Oregon Transportation Commission with Tammy Bainey, who is the chair of that commission. We're talking to her because we're at a moment in time when ODOT's leadership is about to shift with Matthew Garrett retiring or leaving in the middle of the year after 12 years as the head of the agency. Your questions and comments, welcome on the Jefferson Exchange about the operation of ODOT and the things that we see moving forward here. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. See, you mentioned a pretty good mood. I don't think you use those terms, but I'll characterize it that way because of the passage of the of HB 2017 in 2017, the transportation package. But obviously, you know, being the head of ODOT always has its share of headaches. It's a big agency, big budget. You mentioned $3.9 billion for biennium, big visibility, lots of complaints when things go wrong. Is the director job a difficult one to fill?
I would say that Oregon is in a great place to attract a new director. I would submit that maybe 4 years ago, with the backlog of preservation and maintenance that we had within our system, I may have looked over the fence of Oregon and said, I'm not sure. We certainly hope that we have internal candidates, too. We have an incredible team at ODOT. But I think we're in a great position to attract someone who really wants to take the organization into the future. We are, of course, as you can imagine, looking at emerging technologies and how the system that we are building today needs to meet tomorrow's needs. Someone who is clearly looking beyond just putting pavement on the road. We are a multimodal organization and making sure that those investments are just not one and done on pavement, but that we're building community at the same time. It really is a good time for us to be thinking about all of the different ways that the disruptions maybe within the system of transportation play into what it is that we look like maybe in the next 5 to 10 years. So I think we're in a great spot.
Well, Tammy, the ink was barely dry on the announcement from Matt Garrett when all sorts of people began lobbying their ideas toward the governor's office about who should be chosen. On an official basis, how much input does the Transportation Commission have to who's chosen?
So the House Bill 2017 moved the oversight of the director from under the governor to the Transportation Commission. And that had been the structure about a decade, maybe 15 years ago. Forgive me for not knowing the exact timeline, but right around that time frame, it had gone under the governor. And so now that position reports directly to the commission under the consultation of the governor's office. And so we will do that in concert with the governor, but the actual selection is an appointment by the Transportation Commission in consultation with the governor, but also having Senate confirmation from our legislative body. So it is a unique position. Of course, that concert of having the governor's office and a Transportation Commission and the legislative body, I suspect if you were the director, you would hope that that all is working well. And for us, it is, which is a great place, again, to be looking for a new director.
Tammy, you made reference to the multimodal nature of transportation in Oregon. It is not just a highway department. It's been a long time since it was called the highway department, ODOT, but that's arguably still many people's vision of it. Most people drive instead of taking public transportation around the state. How, with the goals of Keep Oregon Moving or the wishes of commission and director, will things shift more toward non-single driver in vehicle transportation in the years ahead?
Well, I think first it starts by breaking down the silos within the department itself. And so making sure that there is that cross-communication among the divisions and the division administrators. So with each hire, it's making sure that we are bringing on individuals that see this as a system and not as just a division that they oversee. So in those decisions that get made every day when we are in community, it's looking at how we can make improvements that benefit quality of life, but also the economics within communities, too. So we want to be looking at things like making sure that if we are going to incentivize folks to maybe not take single vehicle trips, that we have other options that are available to them that are not only safe, but they have confidence and reliability within them. And so we want to be making sure that we are looking at bike ped improvements. We are looking at transit improvements. We are looking at just really how do we build community versus just build roadways. So for me, it starts with that decision with every hire that we make, making sure that we are breaking down those silos within our own department and that communication is happening, but then engaging and working with the local communities. A lot of what we do is alongside cities and counties, And so making sure that we are doing that together and meeting the priorities and wishes that enhance community versus, again, just building a project.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask about the fact that obviously transportation decisions are often made originating in local communities. If they want to run new bus routes, come up with some other kind of local transportation, it tends to start at that level. Has ODOT historically been good at supporting communities and doing that? Is it getting better? How would you characterize things now?
Again, as a county commissioner, when I first started nearly 8 years ago, I would say that the relationship was good but not great. And I would say today that that alignment is really strong. In Oregon, we have a unique framework through the Area Commissions on Transportation. And those are statutorily defined bodies within regions. And around that table of an Area Commission on Transportation is seated individuals who have a stake in transportation. So you have bike ped individuals, you have public health individuals, you have cities, counties, you have business representatives. And they sit and talk about prioritizing projects, about the investment needs, really what does the region need, not just again from a highway division type of perspective, but really building community, whether that's in immediate opportunity fund projects, so you're going to be working to build, you want to bring in jobs into an industrial area. All of those discussions then roll up to the Transportation Commission, and they make recommendations to us about prioritizing and about funding allocations to local communities. One of the things that I think it would be a huge misstep would be if all of the decisions coming out of Salem were trying to guess at what the priorities and the needs are within local communities. So in Oregon, we have a feedback loop there and a system that I believe works really well so that we as policymaking body and governing this organization know what those local needs are.
In fact, we had this interview scheduled before the announcement yesterday of funds from the STIF program, which is a statewide transportation improvement fund. Are you trying not to call it STIF upstate?
Well, because we have two STIF programs, and so is it the special transportation or the is it the STF or the STIF?
STIF.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that are coming down through this? Is it an awarding of grants, it looks like, to improve public transportation in a number of communities?
Yes. So yesterday we approved 18 of the programs and projects that came forward, and that is the payroll tax, the 0.01% that goes into enhancing public transit. You may recall that there was a governor's visioning panel. There was a group that went around the state. We had 11 community conversations about what the needs were in the state of Oregon, and it didn't matter if we were in Ashland, Lakeview, LaGrande, or Portland. We heard that transit and access is critical to the success of communities. And so we also heard that maintenance and preservation was critical, seismic, so resiliency was important too. Congestion in the Portland metropolitan area was important, but the transit component and access was really critical, both from individuals who, seniors, those with disabilities, school-age kids getting around, people getting to jobs, education. And so that, that fund is getting implemented right now in making sure that we are not, first of all, supplanting funds. It is an enhancement program to actually build upon what's already within communities. And it is pretty cool to see the life-changing improvements that will happen for individuals who rely on public transit or dial-a-ride services or other means within those categories to get their needs met and to have quality of life. So it's an exciting time.
So we're talking things like new buses, new routes, new hours of operation, and things like security cameras and bus shelters, all kinds of infrastructure here. We're talking to Tammy Bainey, the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission here on the Jefferson Exchange. So when people hear about this transportation, the transit issues that are coming up or the transit programs being funded, how commit to those without scaring the people who like driving, will keep their vehicles, and might even be freaked out by the likes of the Green New Deal and other wholesale rethinking of how we do transportation?
Sure. Well, contrary to some beliefs, we do not sit at a table and talk about how we can take away vehicles, but we do know that there's a cost associated with having personal vehicles. I will tell you, as a mom and as a community member as well, I mean, if someone's vehicle breaks down and they can't get to work and someone loses a job, that is awful. That is certainly something that we don't want to have happen. So we also want choice for people to be able to have other options than just personal vehicles. There are some people who cannot drive, and they too need to have a reliable system that meets their needs. And so what we're talking about is offering choice to individuals to be able to have options. Maybe they want to be able to not have to have the overhead cost of gas or maintenance on their vehicle, or for those that would just maybe like to make the choice of not driving every day. We need to make sure that those headways are short. So this program will help to shorten that. If it takes you an hour and a half to get to work and you could drive there in 10 minutes, there's a decision to be made, and I suspect that most would go with the 10 minutes. Also, if you don't have your private vehicle and you need to run errands or whatnot, if you can't do that with the public transit system or even within a walkable system, then again, there's a choice there. So it's about enhancing improvements in a community to offer choices, both for those that want to make that choice, but most important, to those that don't have a choice and rely on a system to have the same quality of life as everyone else.
Tammy, has outreach begun to hire the next ODOT director to replace Matt Garrett?
So we are right now negotiating with the recruitment firm that we have selected. And so we intend to have that contract finalized hopefully by the first, if not middle of next week. And we have already started a list of stakeholders that we would like to have engagement from. And then there will be a public process. First portion of that, of course, is the development of a job description. Who is it that we are looking for? And then the next piece, of course, will be the interviewing process, of which we have structured a stakeholder involvement piece there, too. Stakeholders, of course, including the representation of the area commissions on transportation, to what level that engagement will be with the number of them that we have around the state. That is yet to be determined, but we know that this hire is critical, not from a Salem perspective, not from a state agency perspective, but from a state of Oregon perspective. And so we will be engaging public involvement on that and making sure that the person that we hire is one that the state of Oregon is eager to work with as well.
Sounds like a lengthy process. Any chance you'll have somebody on board to have some transition time with Matt Garrett, or is it more likely to have an interim between Matt and the next person?
That certainly, with the timeline, appears to be a consideration. We anticipate that we will not be able to bring this person on until later in the summer. We suspect that we will be looking at a Senate confirmation timeline of around September. So what that means in the interim, we have not determined. Clearly, the letter from Director Garrett signals the end of June. There will be a number of conversations that the search committee and the Transportation Commission will need to have in order to determine what the right path forward looks like. So that's yet to be determined, but yes, I am aware that we suspect that there will be the need for an interim or some other decision to be made between the June and September timeframe.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on the doings upstate. Matt Garrett leaving the Oregon Department of Transportation after 12 years as head of the agency. Up to the folks on the Oregon Transportation Commission and a few other people involved in the process to hire his replacement. Tammy Bainey is the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission, former Deschutes County Commissioner. Thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.